is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
His first autograph of the day. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, live from East Bay Raceway Park and the Hall of Fame Cafe. We are live on the air on Real Racing USA. I'm Bill Green.
I'm Rick Angies.
Jack Smith.
And we are here with Donnie Moran and our young friend, the newest driver of the bunch, I think. He may be the youngest guy in this field, I'm sure, and that is young Tyler Reddick. Tyler, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Tyler going to get some experience here. Donnie's going to show him how. Donnie promised he'd show him how to do this. Now, Donnie, being called the Million Dollar Man, I think you're stuck with that one because I don't think anybody else is ever going to win another $1 million.
Hey, you never know what tomorrow will bring. You know what Earl did up here at Eldora, that was pretty great. But, you know, things change every day as we see in the world as it is today.
Now, with that having been the high point of that season, was that the biggest season you ever had with total wins for the money for the year? Or did you have another season when you ran a lot and did much better?
Well, I don't know any other dirt racers that run late models that's ever won over $1 million in 1 year. But we did that year, you know, but you had a pretty good plug at one at one time. So, yeah, that was a very awesome year we had.
And then, of course, we always want to ask, how long did it last, the $1 million?
It was spent before won it.
That's what I figured, man.
Like it's, I said, them race cars just like a Pac-Man machine. The race car just is like a little Pac-Man. Instead of them little dots that chew up, a dollar sign, you just gobble them up all the time. That's what they need to make a game.
It's been amazing. Now, East Bay, been some cold, cold nights. First night rained out, and you're going to do a doubleheader on Friday. We'll make sure everybody knows that it's out there. There's two races Friday, two full shows starting early in the morning on Friday morning. And I think they open the gates at 9 o'clock. You guys start qualifying and racing at 10 or 11 or something for the first show. So we want to make sure everybody knows that. But it's still going to be six nights of full racing before you get to Saturday night, or five nights before you get to Saturday night's final evening. And some amazing stuff. $12,000 to win, I believe, on Saturday. So some good money can be had. This seems to be for you, maybe Billy Moyer and some others, a great way to kick off your season and pad the bank account a little bit.
Well, yeah, you know, but it costs a lot to come to Florida, you know, the way expenses is today. But, you know, you come down here to the good racetrack here at East Bay. Al and Todd and everybody involved in East Bay Raceway, they do a heck of a good job. And I just love to race here. I've been coming down here probably for 25 years, so it's a great place to go. And wouldn't get much done up home, you know, in ice and snow right now.
Let me ask you, Donnie, how have you seen the racetrack change in the years that you've been coming down here?
When we first started coming down here in the early 80s, it was wedge cars, and it was real fast. And as things changed and tire rules has changed, we was down here in 2004 again when we won the Winter Nationals. We was on a good year of tires, that deal. So it's all changed over the thing. But, you know, tide comes in, the tide goes out, moisture comes in the racetrack. We've seen it real slick. We've seen it rubbered up. We also have seen it, you know, real wet and rough. So, you know, it's a dirt track. You got to go what it shows you and deal with your hand at night.
No doubt about it. Now, as far as running here at East Bay in the Winter Nationals, what is that trip like to come down here? What's the preparations? What are you doing to get ready to come here?
Well, you know, we've had a lot of people said, you know, you come down here, oh, you're going to Florida for vacation. They don't know really how hard it is on you, you know, racing, get in and out of the night. Next morning you're up, getting the car prepared, everybody's ready, go out the next day. I mean, it's a pretty hard week, more than people realize.
Absolutely.
Well, I know that the situation here at East Bay, and then you move on, I believe you're going to go up to Volusia.
No, I'm going to go back home.
Home.
You know, I'm not driving my stuff this year right now. I'm driving for Tim Hall Racing. Tim's heck of a good guy, and, you know, he's got some good crew members there with Les and Chris. And you know, I brought Curtis with me. It helps me out, too. So we got a Vic Hill in that Rayburn car and brought a lot of my sponsors along, C&J, Eddie Snowco, and Custom Cutters, and plus Austin Bryant and Taylor Metals. It's been with him, so we got a pretty good team working in. It's gelling up pretty good, so hopefully we can keep it going. Need me to keep talking?
What did you say, Bill? Now, Tyler, is this your first trip down here to East Bay?
Well, this is my second trip. I ran here last year in the mini sprint, and it was pretty fun. We learned a lot about the high tide and low tide when we were here. You know, affect the track a lot. In the mini sprint, it's a lot bigger track, but when you get in a lay model, it's a little bowl ring.
Yeah, it gets a lot shorter, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You progressed straight from the mini sprint up to a late model?
Well, no, we ran sprint cars last summer. And we got pretty good, and it was a lot of fun, and learned a lot about, you know, tire pressures and all that stuff.
Adjusting on the car and so forth must be a trick. But now, Donnie, I got to ask you, if you were going to give a young man and coach a little bit here for a minute or two, what would be the one thing you would tell him he really needs to pay attention to at such an event where there's all the big names, all the great drivers? He's going to learn a lot just watching as much as driving. But what would be the thing that you remember, God, I wish I'd learned that a little faster or something maybe?
Not listen to the media.
Thank you, Donnie Moran. Ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back next week.
Okay, elaborate a little bit more on that, though.
No, you know, it's hard to say. You know, just with driving different vehicles, just do the best you can. And, you know, if you got to finish first.
Well, now, he's also in the situation where there's a lot of folks across the country that, due to his age, people say, oh, he shouldn't be there. Oh, yes, he should be allowed to be there. If he's got the talent and can control the car and they will let him do it, he should be there. And I believe in that instance that it's like, you know, you earn your badge of honor, you earn your opportunity to go racing.
I do too. You know, there's nothing wrong with his age driving. I mean, you can't tell when he puts that helmet on there. All you can do is see that car out there on the racetrack. Yeah, and everybody will say he's a 14-year-old kid. And then you see Freddie Smith, he's out there. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, there's people that's driving today, it's drove for 10 or 15 years, it shouldn't be out there. And there's guys like this kid sitting right here. There's not a problem with him being out there.
Yeah, he did real good last night. I liked watching him. He got over the berm one time, kind of held him up a little bit. Otherwise, he was right there with them and stuff.
Everybody hits the berm at East Bay.
That's right. Now, Tyler, when you come in here, I know you come in, you're excited, you're getting in a late model, you get to go racing. Does any of that other come into your mind? Do you think about, hey, that's Donnie Moran outside of me, or do you just, it's a racer and go with it?
Yeah, it makes me think a little bit because, you know, you don't want to rough not really good high people up. So I never like to rough anyone up, but, you know, you just think it's cool running with them because they're really good and famous. So, I mean, it's really
cool. What's the hardest part of transferring from a sprint car to a late model? What's been the hardest part for you?
Really how the car acts. You can't really tell if it's going to spin out or not from the sprint car to the late model because it feels like it's going to spin out, but it's actually fine. In the late model, but in the sprint car, you can feel the front end a little more.
So it's a little quicker, of course, a little lightweight.
Yeah.
I guess that heavy weight is what you're talking about. Donnie, you ever done anything besides the late model? Did you do any sprint cars?
You remember there in the early days, Charlie Schwartz, when he went back to sprint cars from the wedge cars in the mid-80s there, I got in, drove Jack Hewitt's car to our racetrack at Muskegon County Speedway, drove that once. And then Donnie Schatz, he come over, had one of the guys when I was in Australia. Actually, I stayed with Kerry Matz, and everybody knows Kerry races out of Knoxville there. But he was friends with Donnie, and one of Kerry's buddies was a crew on Donnie Schatz's car. And they brought it to Muskegon one day, and I got in and got to drive his sprint car there, you know, just fun play day. So, you know, I drove his sprint car a couple times practicing and got to go to the Chili Bowl a couple times and got in a couple modifieds. And, you know, I teach my driving school there at Muskegon County Speedway. And, you know, we do late models, street stocks, modified. So I get in other people's cars and drive them. So I've drove some other things, but the only thing I've really raced has been the late models.
Cool. It's awesome to know that you guys have that much experience, get to cross over a little bit. And it's interesting to see the contrast between, I mean, the veteran racer in you, Donnie, and then the young rookie, so to speak, in Tyler. And his eagerness to learn it all, to try to take it all in, and yet still survive and be somebody that, you know, everybody wants to still race with. So there's a double-edged sword there. He's trying to prove himself as well as learn at the same time.
Well, yeah, that's true. But, you know, even like I've did it for 30 years, an old man here now on a circuit. But, you know, I still learn every day. You know, you go out and you learn things. Last night we was running up front in the feature, and tires give up on us a little bit, and I probably didn't manage the tires quite as well as we needed to, but... You know, I haven't drove a Rayburn car for a while. Been in a Masterbuilt, but, you know, we got to make the adjustments to get a little bit better so I don't have to drive it the way I did. But, you know, that's part of coming to East Bay, you know. Like Tyler said, the tide comes in, the tide comes out. The track will dig up a little bit. It will get slick a little bit. It will take rubber here. And, you know, it's all part of dirt racing.
People,
you know,
people keep saying that to me, that a Rayburn chassis or a Rocket chassis or so forth is such a big difference. But it seems to me if they're all top-end chassis for racing dirt, that they'd be fairly close to the same. I mean, they wouldn't be that different. It's like driving a Ford or a Chevy. It's going to, you know, turn into the corner and be kind of sloppy. All of them are. But is it that much difference?
Well, some of them, they have different style rear suspensions, and that's what make them so different. You know, some of them run the Panhard to the left, some to the right. Some of them run American Racer tires. Some of us, we run Hoosier tires. So, you know, some people drive more sideways than others, and some people, they drive straighter. And this racetrack, you can get away with a little bit of wheel spin, but, you know, since they resurfaced it, it's hurting tires a little bit more than it did last year.
Well, I still wonder, though, how do you figure out what's right for you, so to speak, as a driver? How does Tyler know that the suspension he's got under the car is the right suspension that he can drive better than the other suspensions or something?
Well, that just comes with experience, you know, what you get in drive. You know, the suspension he had on the sprint car and stuff, it's nothing like the late model. So, you know, you learn to adapt. You learn with the track changes. You got to learn to adapt when it's tacking hooked up or when it's slicked. And, you know, if you're a race car driver, you just got to do that.
Or you go to the Donnie Moran driving school.
Yeah, you could do that.
Tell us a little bit about that, Donnie.
I actually have had people like Jimmy Mars come to my school, Steve Casebolt, Billy Drake, and I've been doing it since 1992.
What's the?
Where do they go? How do they get there?
How they do it?
You can go on my internet website, www.donniemoran.com. You can get information. Click on driving school, or you can give me a call at 740-607-2299, and we can hook you up.
Well, now, what does the driving school entail? I mean, how, you know, you're talking about Jimmy Mars, who's been doing it a long time. Going to your school. That's got to be something special about
I've had a lot of first-time, you know, people early in their career, and I've had people as young as 13, 14 through school, and I've had people up to in their 70s through school before. So, you know, I kind of do it as what related to the student and what they need at their particular time in their career.
There you go. Tyler, where did you start? How did you start racing?
I started racing in outlaw carts, and they're really small cars. They got a go-kart chassis with roll cage on them. When you first start out, you know, they're pretty slow, and then, I mean, they're for 4 and 5 year olds, but they get, as you get older, they put bigger motors in them, and they're a lot faster. And the best, it's like a mini Knoxville, the Cyclone Speedway in Chico, California. Really fast track, you can almost, you know, like Knoxville, gas it all the way around. So, gave me a lot of experience in racing everything else I did.
So, then you moved up to the mini sprints?
Yeah, then we moved up to the mini sprints 2-3 years back, and started. The first race I ran is the Tulsa Shootout, and learned a lot. Since it didn't have power steering, it wore me out really good. So, had to start working out, and it finally paid off. You know. Had the endurance to last out through a long time. And those 600s are just a beast when it comes to endurance on the laps.
No doubt. So. Now, how similar is the mini sprint, besides the horsepower difference, to a full-blown sprint car?
The mini sprints, you can throw them in there sideways, but it won't stay up in the speed like the sprint car, because the sprint car's got tons more horsepower, so... In the mini sprints, you know, weight power ratio, it's just not like the sprint car. So, sprint cars are different than the mini sprints by a little bit.
Donnie, let me ask you this: what did it mean to you to be inducted into the National Dirt Late Model Hall of Fame?
Oh, that was pretty cool. You know, I mean, I didn't know if I'd get into it, which, you know, I was hoping it was, you know, having some World 100s and championships and racing for so long. But, you know, it was pretty important. It came at a good time in my career. And I'm very proud of it.
I know that youngsters all across the country will come through and see that Hall of Fame and realize the greatness that you've managed to be. And what I call, and you said this to me, I think, 5 years ago on a radio show, that you were in the right place at the right time with the right equipment, the right people. But looking at your schedule for where you do your driving schools, you're now going out on the weekends, running somewhere to go race a dirt race, and then turning around and boogieing back home for a Monday or a Tuesday school or a Wednesday and a Thursday school. So you're doing double trips back and forth home to go to the next track and so forth.
Yeah, you know, that's what it's all about. I hold all my classes on Monday and Tuesday and use Wednesday for a rain date. And I really like doing it. I do it on a semi-private basis deal. I only have, like, two teams in the classroom per session. Everything's on hands training. Then we spend the next day all day at the racetrack.
Now, do you have dates where You've rained out on Sunday or Saturday, and you have to race on Sunday before you can get home Monday?
There's times that I've drove all night, and I've walked in when the students are there and walked in and said, I got to go get a shower. I'll be a few minutes late, and I'll run to school over later that day. I've did that a time or two.
Wow. That's some miles on some vehicle somewhere and stuff. Tyler, have you been in any schools like that? Have you gone to any driving schools, kind of help hone your skills a little bit?
Well, not really. No, I haven't really, but...
I run a great media school here, too, while you're here, just in case you want to get involved. we love helping the youngsters out.
Donnie says don't pay attention to the media.
Media, yeah, I know. Thanks, Donnie. I'm sure we'll cut that one out and we'll use it for years.
That was wonderful.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? It was great.
At least I got you when you wasn't expecting something.
Absolutely.
You know, you
no,
gotta
we invite
get
you into
ready.
The house. We don't expect you to hit us with a pie. That's all. We love you, though. Well, I tell you what, guys, we appreciate you taking time out. We know you got hot laps coming up here in about 30 minutes or so you got to get back to your cars and stuff and take care of business. But great success to you, young man, around the circuit this year. We hope you have a good time and stay out of trouble and manage to show everybody that you got what it takes, because I believe you do. I saw last night some moments of greatness combined with some oopsies, so I'm sure you'll get away from those. And Donnie? Always great to talk to you, man. It's really nice.
Well, thanks for having me here. I just want to say hi to everybody back home, family and everybody, and appreciate having us
Who's
on.
Who's listening in Ohio? Who'd you call up today?
I called my son. It was his birthday yesterday, Brody.
Oh, wow.
So I wanted to wish him happy 17th birthday. And
happy 17th. He's not working on the crew or got his own car?
Nah,
come
he's
on.
Not much on the racing. He's tried it a couple times, but his little brother, he seems like he can get it done. But, you know, it just, I think, football and the girls interest Brody more than it does.
Talk about your sponsors this year before you get in big time.
Like I said, you know, we have Custom Cutters, Eddie Snowco, C&J Excavating, then got a lot of product sponsors, the Snowco Race Fuels, you know, Baz Oil and Brad Penn Oil, and with driving Tim's car, Tim Hall, like I said, it's Taylor Irons and Austin Bryant, and they help us out quite a bit, and, you know, we're running the Vic Hill Motors, and it keeps the car going good.
I tell you what, Tyler, who you got listening in Corning, California, buddy? Because that's a trip and a half coming to Florida from Corning.
Well, we came from Illinois, so.
Oh, you cheated. You came halfway and stopped. Okay.
Yeah. I got my grandpa listening in
the
California.
The poker player?
Yep.
All right. Next time I'll know better than to buy into that bluff stuff he does. It's nice to have you out here. I hope you're having fun, man. And have a good time with it while you can.
Thank you.
Because sometimes things don't last, but. You have a good time. Donnie,
thanks
so much, buddy. Ladies and gentlemen, Donnie Moran and
thank you very much.
Tyler Reddick.
Hey.
I'm waiting on some applause.
Yeah, let's get it.
Hello, anybody there? Thanks to Donnie Moran and Tyler. There you go. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Donnie.
We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, right after this. We're going to talk about collectibles and how do you get involved and how you can get them.
We're going to talk about the reason we're
Fast
here.
Fastlane. That's
we're
right.
Here.
Fastlane Collectibles, the folks that made us possible. I gotta go take them back and get some more. So
okay.
Bye.
Well, we're gonna do a
commercial. Bye, Bill.
So, Rick.
Yes.
Let's see. Real Racing USA got a very, very busy month this month.
No doubt.
Very busy.
I mean, after we leave here, we pull everything down, and then we're heading to Auburndale Speedway. We're gonna do the final night of the World Figure Eight Championship up there at Auburndale Speedway. What else we got on tap?
Those guys are insane too.
Insane.
I mean, totally insane. We're gonna be at New Smyrna Speedway two nights, and then
the Modified Reunion up in New Smyrna.
The second annual Modified Reunion, where these real old timers, the heroes of yesteryear, come to New Smyrna every year, and they put that event together. And it's amazing how many people come out to talk to those guys, and we interview them, and it's pretty cool. And then later this month, we're back here. The crates.
For the Crate Late Models.
And so
the 19th, I believe it is.
There's a whole bunch of stuff. And then on the last day, no, actually the 27th of February, the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series will be broadcasting live from Ocala Speedway. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
All right.
Racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Underwear Inspector Number 12.
Mr. Underwear Inspector Number 12.
Whether it be tidy whiteys or banana hammocks, you're the one who makes sure our skivvies cut the mustard.
Riding high.
You make sure the door is fastened with secure seams so that the cow doesn't get out of the barn when it shouldn't.
Don't let it out.
Dedicating yourself to a craft others might poo-poo, you can pass every single man on the street and say with pride, "You there, you're wearing my underpants."
Oh, yeah.
And no, I don't want them back. So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Eagle Eyes, because we're all glad you've got your hands in our shorts. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Hi, I'm Tyler Ivey, driver of the number 47 car, and you're listening to Real Racing USA.
We're going to do the St. Pete Boogie and have some fun, you all. You do the St. Pete Boogie, you're really gonna have a ball. When you do the St. Pete Boogie, you're really gonna have a ball. Down the south side of town, yeah, is some hole in the wall. I got to do the St. Pete Boogie. I'm gonna jump until I fall. I've got to do the St. Pete Boogie. I'm gonna jump until I fall. Bar hopping and high topping. Hey, Lord, can't you hear me call? Little party, did my job in the game.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Underwear Inspector Number 12.
Mr. Underwear Inspector Number 12.
Whether it be tidy whiteys or banana hammocks, you're the one who makes sure our skivvies cut the mustard.
Riding high.
You make sure the door is fastened with secure seams so that the cow doesn't get out of the barn when it shouldn't.
Don't let it out.
Dedicating yourself to a craft others might poo-poo, you can pass every single man on the street and say with pride, "You there, you're wearing my underpants."
Oh, yeah.
And no, I don't want them back. So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Eagle Eyes, because we're all glad you've got your hands in our shorts. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
In USA live.
Live, very live.
We are so live.
It couldn't get any live.
I haven't got any idea where you got that music from. That was
behind the green door. That's like circa 1955 or something. You know,
that's not like behind green door.
No, it's the other green door. So the reason we are here today, or the reason that we're able to be here,
is you guys waited that long?
Yeah.
A break. Well, thanks for the listeners for listening. It took a while to get it.
We had better music.
So we have with us Kim Stewart from Fast Lane Collectibles.
Yes, Fast Lane Racing Apparel.
The Racing Authority.
All right. Okay, Bill.
Practicing.
Bill, you know more about this, so you do a
Steve problem. Black. Steve Black is from now. I'm not even sure what you call
the
thing
Kim
anymore.
First. Take care, Kim.
Speed Pros.
Yeah,
Speed Pros. So Steve's sitting in with us, and Kim. Kim. Number one, thank you for letting us be here. Otherwise, really, it would have been a difficult task if these guys come this far north.
Fast Lane?
Yeah.
Collectibles.
Fast Lane.
And apparel?
It's Fast Lane, the Racing Authority.
Collectibles and more.
Mm-hmm. Something like that. You sell more collectibles or shirts and T-shirts and sweaters this week, I bet?
A lot of toboggans, gloves, and hoodies last night and tonight. So I hope that tomorrow night we can start selling those T-shirts and sleeveless shirts.
Toboggans, that's something I haven't heard in a long time.
When you travel in your trailer, do you bring a little bit of everything, or do you come into Florida, you bring a lot of T-shirts and maybe a few hoodies and stuff?
You know, we've been doing the East Bay Winter Nationals for 19 years, so we've seen all kinds of weather. We've seen very cold, we've seen very wet, we've seen perfect. So we're prepared for most anything that God throws our way.
What's been the which night did you really sell out of some stuff? I mean, some things really went off the clock.
Last night, gloves were a big hit. A lot of folks come to Florida thinking, hey, you know, I'm going to Florida, I'm going to wear flip-flops and shorts. And they were surprised last night, so we had to prepare the Northerners. You'd think the Northerners would bring down warm weather
here.
Yeah,
the wind chill factor last night, for those of you not in the Florida area, was at 23 degrees here at East Bay.
Yeah, I was sitting in my 75-degree apartment listening to it on the Internet.
It was dang cold, let me tell you. And so forth. But, I mean, it was like it got to a high of 52, I think, today or something.
All right, so here's the deal. Tell us, Kim, all about your business. Give us the whole deal here.
How did you get started?
Tell us all about it.
Give me a brief synopsis of that. But how did you get into this business?
It's a family business. My husband and I run it with the help of my mom at times, my father-in-law, and our children. We keep it all in the family. We love it. It's afforded us a great many opportunities, one being which coming to East Bay. About the only thing that's been here at East Bay longer than us are the bleachers. We've been through three sets of owners now, and East Bay just feels like an awesome place. We love the history that's here and the sense of family that's here at East Bay.
So tell us about your business, though. I mean,
our business. We do custom apparel for East Bay. We take care of all the East Bay event shirts, not only for the late model Winter Nationals, but the sprint cars, modifieds, crate late models, 410s and 360s. We do hats, shirts, anything. We even have East Bay underwear.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's too much information.
Bill, do you
Bill,
no. Bill, are you
no.
already equipped here?
No.
And I think the guy sitting next to us wants a pair of the East Bay underwear. Yeah.
Hey, Rick Eckert joining us. Rick Eckert with the 24. Great to see you out, man. It's really good. It's like 8 years since we sat down.
You never know who's going to drop in the Hall of Fame
Rick
Cafe.
Eckert,
you guys got a nice spot here.
Yeah.
Man, you had an awesome couple of nights here, even in the cold weather and stuff. Is that kind of helped you out, I guess, maybe? Or is it just the track came to you?
I don't think that cold helped anybody out.
Okay.
Now, wait a minute. We sold a lot of gloves and
toboggan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Hey, do you sell some of the higher names, I mean the bigger names?
No, they have their own apparel trailers that they bring with them, and it's on their your sponsor's trailer, that type of thing.
Serious trailer, yeah.
So all of your apparel, if people want Rick Eckert T-shirts and stuff, they can go online and get them, I know. But there's a trailer at the events usually that happens?
It's usually one of the events, or they can come into the trailer. We have them at our trailer.
Oh, you have it at your trailer?
Yeah.
Oh,
we have some
there
at
you
our
go.
Trailer,
every one of you should travel in store.
Yeah. We don't look at a driver T-shirt as competition because, you know what, a fan of Rick Eckert is going to buy a Rick Eckert shirt, and that's great. I have Rick Eckert shirts, as a matter of fact, and I hope that Rick Eckert has an East Bay shirt, too.
I'm sure. I get plenty of them.
Okay, okay.
Well, that's true.
I don't have the underwear, but I'm getting them.
If the fans come to see Rick Eckert at East Bay, maybe they'll take an East Bay shirt home, so that's a good idea. Rick, buddy, I know you're kind of on time crunch because you've got to go back for hot laps and stuff here at 5 o'clock. You're so nice to come around here for us. What's it like, man, coming back year after year and fighting this place they call East Bay and the Winter Nationals?
Oh, this place is always a challenge, for sure. The racetrack last night was as close to what I would consider old school racing when we used to be able to have two lanes, you know. Man, if we just had a top in 3 and 4 like we had in 1 and 2, it would have even been a better race. It was a good race. It was a great race.
Yeah, 1 and 2 was amazing. People were coming off of 2 like rockets and passing 2 or 3 people sometimes.
Yeah, and the top of the 3 and 4 was just a little bit shy. There's a hole in the 3 there in the middle that keeps everybody busy. You know, if they could get that hole fixed up a little bit, would help things. But
now, how long you been doing this? This is like
25, 6 years I've been racing cars.
Wow, you started when you were like 3?
Yeah.
he does. Look, he's always looked the same. I think every time in the last 12 or 14 years that I've been around and talking to him, he's looked the same the whole time.
Except for the gray hair.
A little bit gray, okay.
Jack, if you remember when we first started doing radio down at the pier, you came down to Bradenton with Stan Cole.
Yep.
And did the show with us down there.
Stanley Cole, that was a great guy right there. That guy was a lot of fun.
Hey, be careful. He may be coming back.
Is that right? It'd be great to have him back.
He's got his name on a couple of tracks he's looking at around here.
Oh, that's perfect.
We're going to do the shirts for him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Pretty sure.
Is it just the swing south is always a good way to kick off your season? I mean, you can always pad your bank account a little bit, of course, but, I mean, it's just nice to get out of all that snow and weather and come down here.
Well, it's usually nice to get out of that snow and weather and come down here to warm weather, but I think we're not going to need shorts this week, you know.
I guess last night's wind chill factor kind of made you feel back at home or something.
Yeah, hopefully tonight's a little bit better, and tomorrow's supposed to be nice, so.
Yeah, it should be up in the mid-70s by Saturday.
Yeah,
but
it'd be really
now, you just had a good swing up at Golden Isles of the World Series. It looks like you finished ninth every night.
Yeah, I had a really straight average ninth every night. Then I came here the first night and run 10th. I was like, wow, that's
really
good.
I went there and got top 10s every night.
Yeah, but, I mean, Golden Isles, though, the World Series, that's a heck of a race series up there, too.
It sure was. There was a lot of really good cars there, and there was a lot of really good cars that didn't come here that race there that are going to go next week, you know, but then a whole bunch of different new cars come here, you know. So there's plenty of racers down here. Even though the economy's bad, the racers are still here, and hopefully the fans are filling here.
Is it tough to budget for the kickoff to your season being so many jam-packed nights of racing? I mean, you got like probably 30, 35 jammed into 2 months, and then you back off to your regular routine of every week and sometimes every other week every once in a while. But
well, you know, doing budget in a race team is not a very good thing. You budget them, you stay home more than you go. But it's hard to come here because the tires get to be carried away. You know, we get to using a lot of tires here. So it takes a really good sponsor, and I got to thank my sponsor, Ray Vest, for wanting to come here. And you know, without him, I surely couldn't come here and do this. But this place takes a lot of tires anymore. But, you know, every place does. So.
Well, let's be honest now. Out there, what is it? Tires are like 245 each now? Or
they're like 150, 162, something like that.
So if you're buying 4, you're into $600 or $800 every time you
I will tell you, the first night here, I had to run the B-Main, end up using 9 tires the first night.
Nine tires the first night.
Now, last night we ran the same four all night long, so last night the racetrack was
way
better.
That's about 1,450 in tires just for one night.
So we were last night, hopefully, and they got the racetrack even in better shape right now. We'll probably end up starting a little later by the looks of it, because they've got her pretty wet. And so it should be even more intense racing tonight.
Wow.
Well, I hope you can keep your tire bill down so you can come and buy some East Bay shirts.
That's right. I'm coming out there.
You know, I keep talking about East Bay shirts.
Do you have boxers?
We can get some.
Okay.
She's going to have long johns pretty soon.
Yeah, that's what she's going to need. There'll probably be a hot summer this year.
It got a nippy around here. I know you got to get back to your car and stuff. We appreciate you stopping by. What's the long-term plans, man? You have been at this a few years. Is there like a point down the road you're kind of focusing on that, okay, by 2012 I may back off, or
just whenever I feel I'm not competitive I'll quit, but I'm not.
Well, that ain't
gonna
happen.
I don't have a time. I don't have a time frame set up.
Do you have any more plans to run at the Chili Bowl?
Possibly next year we might go back. I got a little nephew that raced out there this year, and he has actually a midget. And they're looking for another one. We might have two of them next year and go out there.
Well, that's fun. You did well the first time you ran the
Chili Bowl. Yeah, that's a cool event. That really is. Really neat event.
Rick, there's our new co-host right there.
Yeah,
that's
I'm
right.
Telling you.
Oh, please, please. Come in every night, every week.
Rick, you've had basically the same sponsor almost all the way through your late model career. Tell us about it.
Well, I've had Ray Vest for a sponsor for, this is the 15th year. 14th or 15th year. It's a long time for
a sponsor
and driver to be together. He's a great guy. Loves racing, and he's here. His health's not overly great, but he showed up with his motorhome, and then he called me a while ago. He says, "Man, can you come over here and look at this thing?" He said, I got no heat. I said, "You had no heat last night? So I'm about froze out here."
Oh, man.
Over. And here it turned out he had a new motorhome, and it was just one switch wasn't flipped on.
Now, for years, yourself and Steve Francis, it looked like on the track you had a great rivalry. Now, you guys have been friends forever, but there's always been this kind of who's the biggest contender now that you have to deal with that keeps showing up every time you turn around? He's right there by you somewhere.
Well, you know, in our series, I usually run a World Outlaw Series, and there's pretty much any one of them guys can is a thorn every night. You know, here, you know, Moyer's always tough. Scott's here tonight, so there's. And then you got Terry Casey. You can go down the list. There's 60 some cars. Or actually, I think he said there were 78 here tonight. And there's probably 70 of them that could win the race tonight. You know, so they're all a thorn for sure.
And it's pretty much been that way through the course of the years here at East Bay.
It always has. You're right.
Right.
I grew up a sprint car fan, being from the Midwest. But I will say that I am a converted late model fan after watching 19 years of late models down here at East Bay, as well as Knoxville at the Late Model Nationals. Both phenomenal shows. I mean, you'll see three late models wide going into the turn. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And you've got five or six guys that are within just inches
of each other. These guys really have to trust in the other guys a lot in
I've
places.
I've seen all four
of some guys weren't trusting each other last night.
Yeah, over the years. And I have never, ever seen anything like dirt late models.
Yeah.
There is nothing that can compare to dirt late models. This past year, I just started announcing for the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. And I've been announcing for quite a while with Bill, and we've been doing a lot. I'm going to tell you what, that's non-stop talking. I mean, there's no lull in the action
When we first talked to Rick Eckert back then, the night you came down, that was like really the first time that I had ever seen dirt late models.
Cool.
Now what I do on my other spare time is I, like Rick, work helping to promote and do the media for a dirt late model series, because of
great.
All the racing there is, to us, it is like the most exciting. And coming here at East Bay this time, it's the best.
And like, you know, going to the other tracks like East Alabama, Golden Isles especially, that, you know, Frankie and them guys up there. I mean,
nice
I've
people.
Seen dirt tracks prepared, but I have never seen a track prepared like Golden Isles. And that is one bad, fast racetrack. And then, of course, you got Waycross.
Did you ever find yourself at Waycross? Have you ever been to Waycross, George?
We raced with Waycross back a long time ago. It's black oiled sand.
It ain't changed.
Oh. Yeah.
What it was called, Have a Tampa Series.
Yeah, they raced there.
Have a wreck racetrack. Huh?
Have you
ever been to Macon, Illinois? That little bitty track.
Yeah,
that is. Yeah.
You can stick it sideways inside of this one. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Rick, buddy, we're gonna let you go because we know you gotta get back. We really appreciate it so very much.
Thank you, guys.
Rick Eckert, ladies and gentlemen, of the 24 driver. Out a big hand for Rick Eckert.
All right.
Wow. so nice of him to run in because he jumped on his four-wheeler after the driver's meeting and ran down here. He's got to go back and get in his car.
I bet he won't be nice on the track, though. What do you guys think?
These guys push when they feel they need to. But, I mean, they do take care of their equipment. These guys can sling it in there, like you say, three wide, and they don't wad up a bunch of race cars. I mean, we only had two last night. I think they got really sore.
I bet Rick Eckert wears an East Bay shirt made by Fastlane underneath his driving uniform. What do you guys think?
I wouldn't doubt that.
Well, yeah, you know what? Good. You have on an East Bay shirt made by Fastlane.
Yes,
you
do. Yeah. 25th anniversary.
Yes. That was one of my favorite shirts. I love that logo.
I've been coming here a long time.
Steve, thanks for hanging there with us, buddy. We know Rick had to get in and out. But now, coming to a racetrack and being the parts guy who sells the parts, the fuel, even the wash rack, your control of that thing, I guess, too. What's it like dealing with all these guys from around the country that come in that need things, and they need it like yesterday? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I got a couple people I deal with around here that I can get parts in every morning. I get
UPS
come in.
Run to you?
Yeah, and I got a couple people that are running for me. But, you never know what these guys are going to want. So it's hard to have everything. I try to prepare for it all year, but it's...
As we go through the progression from 360s to late models to 410s to open wheels to crate late models, will there be certain things you'll know you'll need for different groups of people that they usually need?
Well, late models and the modified guys pretty much buy the same things. The sprint car guys don't buy a whole lot of anything.
What
I don't know why it's been that way
the
last couple years.
Sprint
car
guys come prepared?
They must.
They must have a bunch in the trailer.
They buy some tear-offs. That's about it. That's about all I ever sell them guys.
Wow. But now, and you're also here at East Bay Raceway Park for the regular season. So when you get into the regular season, some nights are, I'm sure, much busier than others. But what kind of things do you really find that you need a lot of?
Oh, regular season is completely different than the Nationals guys are. These guys that come over here every week and run, they don't really buy a whole lot. I sell a lot of tear-offs, and a lot of them come in and need oil and silicone and stuff like that. But most of them guys, a lot of them, they tear up or done for the night. So
they break it, they go home and fix it. Wow. Now, you do the wash rack of all things. Who uses it more, the sprint cars or the late models?
Well, last year, late model guys were in there every day and every night. This year, there hadn't been quite as many of them, but the sprint car guys were over every day last week.
And, if those guys washed the cars the last couple of nights, they'd have icicles on them, though, so maybe that's the problem.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I've been closing up the last couple of nights.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to mess up the machinery with ice getting into it or something. Well, I tell you what, you do a great job here in keeping, you know, stuff inside the barn there that people need, and if they need a shock or something breaks, to help them out. So that's pretty cool. But let's talk about the shop that's really the shop over in Lakeland, I guess. Where's it hiding at now?
Actually, I'm in the process of moving the shop.
Oh, you're moving
right
again?
Now. Yeah.
Where are we going?
I'm actually building a shop in my new house. I got things just kind of the way the comedy's been right now. I slowed down. Now,
is that still in?
It's still in Lakeland. Yeah.
In Lakeland, not in Mulberry, though.
And I'm building a bigger shop there so I can
be
there. And I got too many things going on right now.
Because you're not too far off I-4, if I remember correctly.
No, right off a toll road.
The toll road. The toll bypass
toll road, yeah.
Steve, did you race around here?
Yeah, I've been racing around here.
Tell us about that.
Well, I've raced about everything around here.
You used to race figure eights, didn't you?
I've raced figure eights.
That's where I remembered that day from.
Steve Black.
From DeSoto Speedway.
Well, actually, that wasn't me.
Oh, that wasn't
you.
That was a different guy.
Yeah,
okay.
I messed with them every time I pulled in down there. They thought, wanted to know if I had this figure eight car or the modified.
Okay, okay.
I run modifieds a lot. Run some dirt. I have run some figure eights down here, too, but I come from Indiana, and
When you had Midwest Racing and just outside of Mulberry there in Willow Oak area, you had cars at you went to several tracks with guys trying to help them get going, and you had your own car with you sometimes. You'd go to Auburndale, you'd come to Lakeland, you'd go to over here to St. Pete you even came over here, I'm sure, a lot for East Bay. But where was your favorite track in this neighborhood? Which one did you really like racing when you were racing? And put the microphone up.
East Bay.
Was
no,
it?
I've done a lot of dirt racing.
He knows
in
where
Indiana.
His bread is
buttered.
I haven't really
couldn't
haven't
get him
run
to bite off
here.
On that one, could we?
Really haven't run out here a whole lot, but I was kind of raised on dirt tracks, and my dad raced a lot of dirt up in Indiana in the Midwest, and I can't get away from it.
Now, how many collectibles, how many T-shirts do you have at home that say some kind of racing on it? Something racing.
I think every single one I have.
Really? Oh, I wouldn't doubt it.
You're like my husband. If we don't make it, poor Greg doesn't wear it. So it's a good thing that we're in the T-shirt business, or he would walk around naked.
You can ask her. I usually buy a bunch of them during the Nationals.
So, Kim, Fastlane is here at East Bay all during the Winter Nationals.
Correct.
Do you go to other major events around the country during the year?
We do. When we first started the business, we were primarily dirt track. That's all we did. And then we opened 7 stores and malls in central Illinois, did that for about 10 years. I retired, and I came home one day, and my husband had bought a 53-foot NASCAR trailer. And we've been going to NASCAR races. We do about 16 cup events a year, 6 bush races, and 2 truck races. But my heart is definitely in dirt track racing. Coming to East Bay is by far the best trip of the season for us. Obviously, we get to get out of the weather in Illinois, but it's just great to come back and see all the people. And then we do the Knoxville Sprint Car Nationals and Late Model Nationals, and we do some events at Eldora. So we go to, like, the 3 premier dirt tracks in the country.
Well, in our next break, we're going to start preparing your contract because I think we're going to, like...
Yeah, definitely.
We're
in the neighborhood.
We're going to put you on the payroll.
Well, yeah, no sense to have you stand outside.
You know, and I really do have the body for radio because, you know, I'm in shape, but it's round. So, like, I can be behind this mic and just, you know,
Hey, we'll just look like 3 little round ones.
Yeah. Hey, guys, I want to thank you. Thank you for letting me be here. Best of luck, and thanks again. Bye-bye.
No, we're going to next 2 weeks from now when we do the crate late models, we're going to have you come in. We won't worry so much about the business, although we'll talk about it, but you're going to help interview some of the guys because you'll know them more than we do. Probably.
Oh, great. Yeah. All right. Thanks.
Great.
All right,
thanks you.
Thanks a lot.
All right, Kim Stewart with Fastlane Collectibles.
Steve, buddy.
And apparel.
We appreciate you taking time. We know you got to get back and man the store because you actually had to close the store to come over and talk to me.
Yeah,
so
no,
we appreciate
problem.
That. We'll take a short break. We'll be back with Nats Peters, the track chaplain, and some more Real Racing USA.
I'm Hi, I'm Don O'Neill, driver of the number 71 race car, and you are listening to The Real Racing USA.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Hi, I'm Tyler Ivey, driver of the number 47 car, and you're listening to Real Racing USA.
I'm
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Real Racing USA live from the Hall of Fame Cafe in East Bay Raceway Park. What a day we're having. Getting an opportunity, Jack, talk to a lot of racers, man.
Wait, Rick taking a union break or what?
He's going to get his French fries. He wants them hot. So Rick Angie's going for the hot fries.
At the Hall of Fame Cafe at
That's
East
right.
Bay Raceway Park.
Great new folks in here. I wish I knew a whole lot more about them because I like some of the food they're doing, some of the things they're doing. We got Rick Swally coming by to talk with us from Lucas Oil. Now, Rick, you do a lot of the media stuff, photos and everything, but you're in the trailer kind of help, you know, guide people in the right direction when they got questions about things.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to explain what I really do because I have so many hats in the fire. I take care of course, I'm a photographer for our series. My official title with the series is project manager, but I do everything from sweep the floors to drive the truck and everything. So.
Now, what kind of projects do they talk about? Things where you go out and kind of, shop the wares and sell the product of Lucas Oil in the series? Or
I don't have a lot to do with the oil product itself. We're educated on the oil product somewhat to pass any information along to anybody. But as far as the Lucas Oil products itself, they have a support staff internally that handles all that. But for the series' sake, I don't handle all the schedule, but I handle majority of the schedule, where we go, where we race, and just from working on our programs for the new year to reevaluating things that we do in the off season to even like our souvenir program and any little details, I handle a lot of those tasks.
Now, when you sit down and decide that okay, each year we're going to kick off something in a different way, or we're going to do it, 2009, we're going to do it at East Bay. Is there, if they like it, they put it on the schedule to come back, or if it don't go well, then they move on and try something different? Is that how things usually work, or do they just like these early ones here, Volusia, wherever, to start the season?
Well, you're exactly right. And the easy way to tell how this goes is if you have the same routine each and every year, that promoter is making money. And the event's successful, they're doing good. We've been to East Bay every year of our existence, and we keep coming because these guys do good, we do good. Our competitors love it, and the race fans love it, and this is why we kick it off at East Bay. And of course, of our whole school, we don't have much turnaround from year to year. If we on our schedule from last year to this year, there's one racetrack we're not going back to last year, and that's only because they're not racing. And
do you pick up a new one to replace that? Do you try to have the exact same number of weekends in a year, or do you back off a little bit this year? The economy's down, back off a little more. Maybe next year you build back up another two or three extra nights. Or do you
we did replace the race. We tried to go in the same market. We tried to spread ourselves out as much as we can, but just trying to do the best for our drivers. Our drivers have given us feedback as to how many weekends they'd like to race a year, how many events they'd like to race in the course of the season, how much is too much, and we stay inside those boundaries to do them a good job.
How long have you been with the series?
This is our fifth season, and I've been with them all five seasons.
Okay, so how long did it take? I mean, was it right out of the box successful, you think, or did it take a minute? How long did it take before you had it like you had the schedule for the next year planned?
Well, the schedules get easier each and every year, no doubt. The first season, I think we had mid-20s. As far as our event count, right now we're around 38, 39, something like that. Between rainouts, it changes, it fluctuates over the course of the season. But we immediately saw a lot of people interested in our program, and having a company like Lucas Oil involved in it, it gives it a lot of merit to people wanting to do business with us. So that helped us out a lot in the beginning, and then the series stands on its own now. We don't have any problem looking for races. Our schedule, most of an industry standard is to release a schedule in December at the PRI show, and we released our schedule the first week of October. So when you call and get a commitment from a promoter to do the event that you've done your prior year again, it's a no-brainer to me.
Yeah, where do I sign?
Right.
Now, do you run into a problem that every once in a while somebody goes, well, we did April 1st, the first weekend in April. We'd really like the first weekend in September. You know, they try to change things, moving around a bunch.
They don't really change a lot in that aspect as much as you get weekends that change. This year we've got 5 weekends. It's funny that I know the calendar like this, but we have 5 weekends in August this year. Last year we had 4. We got one less in September. And then you have some events like the World 100. It's always the Saturday after Labor Day. Well, you have to work everything around those. Some of them are fixed events, and some of them fluctuate a week or two. And then with the calendar, it becomes a big task. There's usually some big conflict in the schedule that we have to work around.
What is your deadline for having the schedule in print so you can go to T-shirts, you can go to your media printing and all that? What's your deadline?
Well, we exceeded our deadline. I mean, we wouldn't have to have that done until December, but we shoot ourselves to get this work done in August and September to where we, at our final race of the 08 season, we released our schedule for the 09. That's real important to the guy, to the race fans at home that work a 40-hour-a-week job that we love to see at the racetrack, and they need to know for their vacation and things to plan.
So by December, it's a done deal.
Yeah, it's a done deal. We're working. We've just added a race in New York this week. It's a new territory, a new market. It works. It fits well with our other events that we're racing that weekend. It's the first weekend of August, and we're not been in the New York area yet, and this opportunity presented itself, and we took it, and it's in a close proximity of a couple other events. So
where is it at?
It's at Utica Rome Speedway.
Oh, you'll pack that place? Oh, boy.
Imagine. Now, I was just fixing the thing, then. If you're going to New York, I mean, the race just before that's not in Florida, and the race after that, you know, somewhere else. You tend to kind of stay in the general location or proximity of where you're at week to week, even though you're moving across the country.
Yeah, we try to, from one race to the next on any given weekend, we race inside a 4 to 5 hour window. That's the magic zone. If you race inside a 3 hour window, you're sharing crowds from one racetrack to another, and that doesn't usually prove to be well for the promoter on sharing ticket sales like that. So we try to go 4 to 5 hours apart, and then we move around quite a bit, but we don't cross the United States from one weekend to the next.
Wow, I know. How many miles is it? Have you ever calculated out kind of like just in general terms from headquarters to the tracks and back?
We haven't done that. We've done from event to event to event to event, and it's about 18,000 miles. I'm located in Zanesville, Ohio. That's where one of our trucks is stored, and we have another truck, a support truck, that's in Tennessee. Our series director, Richie Lewis, lives in Oliver Springs, Tennessee. So it's a lot of equipment. It's a little circus-like at times, but we seem to enjoy it.
How many employees are there to deal with the Lucas Oil series as it travels?
On the full-time side of things, it's my wife and I and Richie and his son, Cole. There's just the four of us that work full-time for the series. And then as far as our support staff that comes and helps us for the events, we have 19 people down here helping us.
Well, that is a traveling road show.
Yeah,
big time.
Get them to move all over the
place. Tell us a little bit about the TV package with the Lucas Oil Dirt Light Mile series.
Well, I'd like to tell you a little bit more because we're in the midst of changing this just a little bit. Today we're at 13 half-hour shows on the Speed Channel, and we've got some things in the works. Hopefully, opportunity presents itself here in the next month, and we'll be able to release more on that. But we aren't backing down. Everything we have right now is at least 13 Speed Channel half-hour shows. We like to air them. Numbers, our ratings, and everything to do for our customers and our commercial advertisers and our sponsors suggest to do it in the fourth quarter. It's not what our avid race fan likes to see. They like to see them a couple weeks after the race, but we air them consecutively week to week.
Do you mean we're not going to get breaking news here about the Lucas Oil TV package?
Can't tell
package?
Us about this big TV package and extra hour shows or something?
We did kind of
no
get
special
breaking
events.
News, kind of got breaking news that something's in the works.
Something's
yes,
in the works.
Yes, we never quit working. It seems like our job tasks change over weeks of time. You know, in the summer we're working at the races, and then come August, September we're working on schedule, and then from as that's over then we're working on a banquet. So it's It's just our job task changed, but we're always working on something.
Well, it's obviously very successful, and it always is here at East Bay. There's no doubt.
Yeah, I think you guys topped out at 77 cars here one night, if I'm not mistaken.
We're in the mid-70s tonight. I don't know exactly where we're at right now. I walked away before Hot Laps got started there.
That's awesome. I mean, I'm sure there's some tracks where, like the World 100, how many people show up? Good heavens, must be hundreds.
Yeah, World 100 type of crowd, I believe, is close to 20,000, I think is about what that is.
Wow.
That's
amazing.
It's quite amazing, yeah.
All right.
I'll tell you what, you guys are doing a great job. We appreciate you taking the time out right now.
Thanks, Rick.
You're in the pits trying to get things going.
And thank you.
Working here at East Bay, we appreciate taking time to talk to us.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks so much.
Cool.
I'll tell you what, take a short break. We'll turn right around and come back.
No, we're not going to take a break.
We're moving on to the East Bay portion of the show.
Wait. Yeah, before we get to introduce our next guest, we have to have somebody come into the hot seat live from all over somewhere, Texas, Arkansas, South
Ladies
Carolina.
And gentlemen,
the one, the
sitting
only.
Sitting down in the chair now. The man who wouldn't be the plan without the game.
Well, let me put it to you this way. Last time we were here, we had a sighting. Remember?
It is.
That's right.
It's no longer a sighting.
It's not a sighting. We thought he'd lost us and gone off the end of the map. It is now Rick Day's Pit Stop, traveling the world everywhere you want to go.
All right, Rick
having
Day.
Fun, selling sandwiches.
Welcome to Real Racing USA Live.
How you been, man?
Thanks a lot, guys. Doing good.
Now, let's catch people up. You went to Texas, and it sounded like a thing you'd set the world on fire for a year at least, if not more. And everything was building up. We were doing really great. And then suddenly, disappearing act.
City of politics, and we'll just leave it at that.
All right, we'll get back to you in just a minute, Rick.
Nats, pick up your microphone. Poor Nats Peter has been very patient with us. We appreciate it, Nats. Nats is the track chaplain here at East Bay Raceway Park, but everybody knows Nats Peters from a big fiery crash at Daytona. That's everything.
Really?
Every time you say that name, somebody emails me and goes, was he the guy in the fiery crash at Daytona? And I go, yes, he was. He's still alive. He did not die. Nats, how's it going, bud?
I don't know
Very
about
good,
it. Tell
Boober.
Me.
I know nothing
Nats,
about it.
Tell about it. What? I can't remember the car number. I think it was...
Number 60.
60.
Tell us about it.
In 1984... And
take off our hats.
Yeah,
his claim to fame.
I don't like to remember it too much because I had to watch myself crash on television for years.
Yeah, because that was in the wide world sports time frame, and they used to use that little clip real fast a lot.
And but they have a deal when you go into Daytona that you have to sign this release, and they just use it as much as they want to, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Now, tell us about it. Get technical. You were coming through turns 3 and 4, I think.
Yeah, it was. I was between the 3 and 4 turn, and I'd been chasing J.D. McDuffie. And I started back, I think, 13th or 14th, something like that, and I was running third at the time. And J.D. went high in the 3-4 corner, and I thought to myself, because I was a total rookie over there at Daytona, I didn't know anything about it, and I thought, well, if J.D. can go high, I can go high. So I just followed him right behind him, and when he got to the tunnel, which a lot of people don't know, if you stay low at Daytona, the tunnel is not bad.
Yeah,
but the higher you go, the more exaggerated it gets, the hump. And J.D. went right up against the wall coming off of that 3-4 corner, so I followed him up there. And the guy that was running behind me came down and told me later that my back wheels came a good about a foot off the ground.
Oh, my God.
At 200 miles an hour, and you just don't do that. So the tail end came around, and I slid through the infield and hit the infield wall. And the car was not that bad then. I could have fixed it with a clip. But came back up on the racetrack, and... I got hit from the rear. The guy that hit me said that he thought he could get between me and the wall, and
he couldn't.
He couldn't. He didn't make it.
So anyway, we're glad to say that he got out of that one in one piece, but it was a mess, and it got a little exciting for a while. Now you find yourself at racetracks. You come here to East Bay mainly, and you're helping kind of kill two birds with one stone, maybe, I guess, whatever you want to call it. But you're helping these guys out. You're there for them when they need you. Right. And you're a real important piece of the puzzle that is East Bay Raceway Park.
I started this. I'm starting my seventh year here at East Bay Raceway Park. Al and Todd bought the track in October, something like that. In the following January, I started right in with the Winter Nationals, and it's just been an awesome experience. It's totally been an awesome experience ever since we got started. And it's just the idea that, I mean, we really don't do that much, but we're always here for the guys when they need us. And when Al called up and asked if I'd come be the chaplain, I'd been retired from racing for about 10 years, I guess. And I said, I'll be happy to come to be the chaplain, but I'm not going to come over there and just do the invocation and go home. That's it. I'm not going to do that. So he said, well, what do you want? So I told him, that. I said, well, I said, the only way I'll come do this is if I can get 5 minutes with the drivers at every driver's meeting. So he agreed to that. And so every time that we open the driver's meeting, every time they have a driver's meeting, I give them a little five-minute devotional and say a prayer and ask for protection for the drivers and the crews and all that kind of stuff. And then I guess that was about 3 months later, then I went to Al and I said, Al, how about if we do an article for the racetrack program? And he said, well, that's never been done before that I know of. He says, I don't know of anybody around doing that, but let's try it. So we tried it, and we started writing a 500-word article for the program. And this will be 6.5 years now. We've been doing this article for the program, and it's one of the few in the country. We call it the Chaplain's Corner. And we do an article for the racetrack program, and it's I don't know what happened to the program for the Winter National, but there's an article in there also.
Yeah, no, it's been awesome, and yeah. It's really neat, some of the things you've done. Now, you had this, at one point you had something going on called the Kids Club, and that
right.
was awesome. I mean,
right.
people used to love that. Sometimes I think people kind of abused it, but, I
yeah.
mean, you had a great time, and the kids had fun, and there was, you know, they always got to sing the National Anthem or do something
right.
during the year.
My wife ran the Kids Club. And she did it for 3 years, and it was really a great thing. Loved all the kids, but it just got to be too much of a full-time job for her. And I just didn't have the time to put in it. It's my fault, but anyway, she just moved on to other things. So.
Well, that, and they needed space for a media trailer.
Right.
I tell you, I've been through several of the driver's meetings where you speak, and It's a motivational thing. I mean, the things you come up
right.
with, the stories you have, and it's just a great thing. What gave you the idea to do that?
Well, I try to always do something that relates to the racers. I mean, being a racer myself, I know what they need. And I try to always relate to them and say something that is right down their alley, in other words. In other words, if there was a fight the night before, I deal with it. We talk about it. We just get it out in the open, and we talk about it and let everybody discuss it in their own minds and see what's going on. There have been a lot of times when we've had some differences of opinions, but, you know, we always come back, and we're always friends at the end.
I'd say as a whole, though, all of the drivers appreciate that time and opportunity.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of them that travel the country, wish they could still every Sunday get
right.
up and go, but they got to be going somewhere else, so they have to you do it by radio or whatever they got to do
right.
to get it done. But,
well, I try to do that because I understand that so many of these guys, I mean, during our regular weekend show, Saturday night show, these guys don't give it up on Sunday morning and go to church. So this little devotional is their church service, basically. That's what the way we look at it, you know, and it's worked out really well.
You ever start doing communion down there, you'll have them lined up.
Yeah, right.
They'll be everywhere. Well, man, I tell you what, I think you're doing a great job. I appreciate you taking the time out to talk to us today. I know you got, you know, a lot of business to do when the Winter Nationals
right.
to keep up with people and make people happy. I know the driver's meeting happens like 4:15 in the afternoon.
Right.
So
it's 4:15 in the afternoon.
Keeps
and
you
the
a little
late
busy.
Month. Right.
I'll tell you what, though, we're going to definitely get you back as a guest.
Absolutely.
I mean, we're here once
sure.
a month and talk about your racing career, too.
Well, that'd be I enjoy doing that. It's like living, you know,
yeah, we'll
reliving
we'll
all that stuff.
We'll talk about the high points.
Yeah. We got the low one out of the way.
Right, right.
But we'd also like you to be involved with the show a little bit, too. Give us a little bit of spiritual
right.
inspiration, because God, we need it.
Right.
Especially right. down on my left.
Rick, you just got here. Anyway, we appreciate it. Thanks so much, Nats, for dropping by.
Thank you. We'll talk to you again real soon.
All right, Rick.
Mr. Day.
Mr. What's Dane. What's happening in Rick Day world, man?
Okay, well, for everybody out there listening that does know of Rick Day and has been either through the Sarah series or seen him at some other racetrack where he was working or been to East Bay over the years, because you did the points scoring here for years.
People that don't know Rick Day, all I got to ask is, what rock have you been under?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about Rick on these shows for years. I don't know where everybody's at, but yeah, I bugged him in the middle of the night for Saturday nights for a long time. In that show.
So what's up, Rick?
I finally decided to come home. Got tired of Texas, decided it was time to come back about 2.5 weeks ago. We finally decided to move back to Florida where we belong and see what happens from there.
Well, now, when you say move back home, you've got a whole new entity because you're not at the racetrack to work as, you know, helping with scoring or doing something else for the track. You're actually a vendor now, and you used to have to deal with vendors and getting vendors good ones and stuff.
Yeah, we're trying to make a little money. We're still in the idea that Lottie had out of the Super Nationals. We're doing some ribeye steak sandwiches this week here at the Nationals. And
well, the, I, actually,
trying to
I
do
think
something.
The pulled pork sandwiches are going over bigger in
pulled
reality.
Pulled pork, ribeyes, it's all going pretty good, but
I tell you, they're good.
You know what? Rick Day is probably as qualified as anybody I know. To, if you needed somebody to sit down and write a manual that had the job description and what you did for every job at a racetrack, probably nobody better than Rick Day to do that. You've done it all, man.
I thought of him. Sirius Radio, they reported today that Dale Jr. and a bunch of his family and other people have bought the Speedway at Memphis Speedway. Memphis Speedway Park or whatever they call it. And I thought, geez. I should get with Rick Day, and we should drive up there and see if they need an announcer and a general manager.
Services are definitely available.
How many? Talk about the tracks you worked with from way back. Now, you did the Sarah series. Did that for 11 years? 10 years? Something like
Sarah
that.
Was around for 10 years. Owned it the last five.
The Southern okay. Automobile Racing Association. But,
that was probably the most successful,
small,
continuous running at the time. Series in the state of Florida. You know, you had your TBRA, your Florida Pro.
And by the way, Rick, there is no traveling asphalt
late model
series in Florida as we speak.
Or
what
open
do you think?
Wheel.
What do you think?
Or open
yeah,
wheel.
I hear that, but.
No open wheel traveling series, and I don't think the truck series is traveling
no.
either. Do I want to be politically correct here? Just
no,
say
no.
what I want to
say.
Say
what you
want
to say. Race at USA, say what
you
want.
You can say it here.
I won't punch in no names, but the one man that wanted me ran out of the state of Florida. That told me if I'd leave the state, he'd leave me alone and quit pissing on me. He's the one that successfully screwed everything up in the state of Florida anyhow.
Uh-huh.
So that's why there's no touring series. So,
okay.
Unfortunately,
that's
he still
fair.
Has
that's fair.
Fairly amount of control of asphalt racing right now, so I'm not sure if I won't even want to attempt it, you know.
Well,
what,
I'll tell you,
what
it is
made,
a tough
what
landscape.
Made Sarah successful compared to what else has tried and gone?
Just treating my family. We had a good time. Everybody fair. I didn't care who you were. You were treated the same.
Friday night barbecue.
It didn't matter
baby.
What it was. But no, we appreciated on being there. And like Bill said, when we'd go in, it's a New York track we'd never been to. We'd actually rent the racetrack on Friday night, do a big practice session for them, do a barbecue at our expense. And they just appreciated it, I think.
Well, I'll tell you, Rick.
Some hellacious banquets at the end of the year.
Right,
and
right.
Thank you.
I mean, everything
those.
Was
it,
great.
It was, it was an awesome series. I'll tell you, for real, though. And I'm not patronizing dirt tracks or anything because we're at East Bay, but, I mean, anybody that's been paying attention to Florida racing in the last 18 months to 2 years knows that dirt racing is on an upswing in a big way, and asphalt racing is struggling seriously.
In
struggling.
All corners, everywhere.
Well, yeah. That's what I was going to say. It's not just Florida, guys. I mean, I was in Texas. Dirt tracks are surviving in Texas. Asphalt tracks, they're lucky to run 15 times a year.
And
when I was out there, I tell them, guys, I mean, I would race more in the Winter Nationals at East Bay in the month of February than y'all do all year long.
Right.
I mean, we do 21 nights here, and they're lucky to do 15 all year long out there, and they wonder why they can't make
well,
it.
Well, our theory at Real Racing USA on why this is so, and I remember, Bill, as long ago as 7, 8, 9
yeah,
years ago, we used to wonder why, because I wasn't as familiar with dirt racing. Back then, Rick, you weren't. We used to talk and discuss and ask people on shows like this why is dirt racing have bigger sponsors, better sponsors than asphalt racing? This past year, of course, Rick and I toured with the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series, went to dirt tracks all over Georgia and Florida, and I don't have any question in my mind about what it is. It's when you have three-wide racing with big car fields, even in the mini stocks and the street stocks or whatever, all over Georgia and Florida, it's the excitement of the racing. That's bottom line.
Yeah, I mean, it's nationwide dirt track racing is awesome. I mean, in my career versus working with Hooters when their asphalt series, I mean, I've worked at, I think the last count it was, 139-140 tracks in 38 of the continental United States. So I've seen racing from one coast to the other. And I would definitely have to say by far the dirt track racing. I mean, I've been a fan of both, don't get
me
wrong.
Sure.
But dirt-wise, the action is so much better. I mean, three wide, side-by-side in the corners. One of the best races I've ever been to. I mean, I love Superior Speed. I'm at Cedar Lake Speedway in Wisconsin. It's awesome. But Bulls Gap, Tennessee, that high bank racetrack up there. I walked in that place and watched the street stocks and modifieds five wide at Bulls Gap. I mean, it's awesome. I mean, you just can't beat anything better than the dirt track race.
I'll tell you, when I went to East Alabama this year, last year, and it looked like a DeSoto Speedway with dirt, with no walls around it.
East
Alabama
was real nice.
It was the same thing.
I haven't been there in years, but I mean, it's a real nice facility.
Well, and what we've been telling, you know, passing along to owners of asphalt tracks in Florida is that, you know, today's people are going to racetracks for entertainment, you know. There's a lot of people, I mean, they're not diehard race fans going week in, week out. There are people out there looking for entertainment. And you've got to do things to spice up and make this whole deal a little more entertaining. These eight-car shows, ten-car shows ain't cutting it.
Right. Well, that's what I tried to tell everybody when I was in Texas. The guys, we're not in, and I preach this in the driver's meeting, this is, guys, we're not in the racing business. We're in the entertainment business. And it's to do today for the entertainment dollar between football, baseball. I mean, it's just the kids, and you got to keep the kids entertained. Going back to NASA's Kids Club, I mean, the whole bottom line to this day, in my opinion, is the general kid rules the house. And mom and daddy's going to let that kid do what he wants, shut him up most of the time. So if we can keep that kid entertained, if they're checking to be there every week, I mean, they're going to be there. So that's the reason why we always emphasize on the school programs and the car shows at the schools and everything else to get those kids going. And I learned this from Billy Martino at Lakeland a long time ago. You got to create your marquees. You got to create the drivers' names. Otherwise, they're nobodies. And if you don't do the shows to advertise the drivers and build that name, like NASCAR has done with Junior and everybody else, then you don't have nothing.
Then what you have is an auction at USA International Speedway where you sell up all the grandstands and everything else.
How sad was that for you?
It was definitely a shock. I pulled up there. I always kept up with Karnak and everything, just looking around to see what's going on in Florida, and I saw that, and it's like, damn.
You should have been there,
Rick. That was a surprise.
Rick.
You could have bought an elevator cheap.
Let me tell you, that was Bill. You and I were there that day. It was just unbelievable that you. It was hard to get your head around at this place. They can't tear this place down. And you know, David Rogers won the last race there, and that night was just like.
I told Jack they're going to quit inviting us some places because we went to Hialeah, they closed it down. Mm-hmm. We went to USA, they closed it down.
And people didn't want to leave. They had teching cars at 4 o'clock in the morning. Don Nerone's over there. And I know I hate to say that word, but they were teching cars. Did you see that? But teching cars till 4 o'clock in the morning, and after a while I left because I realized these guys don't want to leave this place, you know?
Yeah, there were two fans sitting in the stands that wouldn't leave. They just sat there, and somebody later had said, yeah, they were part of the family of some people that had been coming there for years since they had had the little track and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And they just didn't want to leave. They really and truly did not want to leave.
It had to be especially hard for you, though, because, I mean, every big race that was at USA, Sarah was the support series.
Right, we always were the support division. They would be with our late models and modifies, and then toward the end, we got into the truck series too. So
yeah, but for the local racer,
all around series.
For the local racer, it was like our own Daytona 500 when you went to USA.
Do you remember how? I know you remember, but the thing that stands out is I remember the first time that you took your late models there. That was the night of the big fire.
Richie Anderson.
The first turn, the first lap. Of
wasn't
the,
wasn't the first lap.
Wasn't
yeah,
the
we
first
were.
Oh, it wasn't the first
no,
time.
No.
We'd been there before.
Yeah,
but,
it was about third.
It was about the first or second lap, 100
yeah,
lap so, feature.
Yeah, turn two.
Had a big crash coming out of turn number two. One backed into the wall, two crashed on the bottom. Make a long story short, busted three fuel cells. We had 90 gallons of raw race fuel laying on the ground. And
it all
lit.
Run down the hill.
And it caught fire. And the flames were burning higher than the flagpoles at the light poles at USA. And it was definitely scary sitting in the tower, not knowing if your drivers were okay. And definitely not something I'd want to go through again.
You know, I have in my office where I do my work, I have a big picture that I took of that. I was one of the few people right up close able to take a picture of that, and I have a big picture of that. And I look at it every day, and it's
that's one of my three top shows that I ever did on the AM side was the week after that. Richie Anderson came in and sat down and talked to me about that fire and what it was like in it and the way he described it and stuff. He happened to have an orange Sunkist in his hand. He said he put it up to his eyes sideways. He said it was like looking through this orange Sunkist. He said it was just crazy.
But it changed the way they did things there after that. I mean, they put that wall
And it's
in.
Amazing the people that were involved in that. Ken Kinney, who now owns the United Dirt Late Model Series, he backed his car out of the wreck.
Right.
And got out of the way. He said just in time.
The cars that burnt was Richie Anderson. Tracy Raven was one of them involved. And another one from
hey,
playing music, trying to
hang
cut
on,
me
hang
off
on.
Already.
Jack hit the wrong button.
Rick.
Oh, was it?
That was Rick.
Trade microphones
crazy.
Real quick while I'm talking
yeah.
here, because I got a feeling yours is doing the cracky backy thing.
Yeah,
it's warm.
We had a rogue computer go off right
it's
there.
It's warm. So, but who was in that wreck?
The ones I remember the cars I burned was Richie Anderson, Tracy Raven,
there
was one other one. And unfortunately, he forgets my name. I can see him perfect. It was a 74 car, and I can't remember what his name was.
I'll tell you what. You never forget things like that, and you always feel like it's a part of you. Because you got choked up talking about it there for a second, because it still gets you to stand in the tower and see that fire and know that the guys you worked with day in and day out were...
Yeah, just flames like that, you're not knowing if they're out of the car. It's just, it's not fun.
I thought it was cool. The one good thing about that final night, though, the thing that I'll never forget was David Rogers, who had never won there, winning the final race. He had raced there for over 20 years. 20 years, and never won, finally won it. So what's the future?
Right now my options are open. We're looking...
you got the resume together, man? I mean, there may
I've
be
sent
some
out a
few
resume the other day to a party and that is looking for a general manager, and we'll see what happens. And then I got another bunch.
There's a couple.
Really
of,
can't say a whole
the
lot.
The whole landscape is ready.
There's a couple of tracks for sale. You
be
know.
Back on
yeah,
the Nomad scene again.
That.
Yeah.
You got something you want to blow me?
Yeah.
Thank you. We had money, we'd buy a few of them.
I hear you.
Yeah, your buddy Bobby Deal needs some help down there. As a matter of fact, his track's for sale as well.
I talked to him prior to moving back, and he didn't indicate anything like that, but he said he wanted to talk about doing some stuff and then played phone tag a couple of times that I haven't called him recently, but we talked a little bit prior to me moving back. So,
would you be in the market to resurrect, let's say, an open wheel modified series or anything, or do those kind of things again like you did before? Would that be something that might be fun, because you can kind of control it a little more? You could go where you wanted to go. You didn't have to go everywhere. You go, you know what I'm saying?
I do miss owning the series and having the series, because it was definitely fun. I'm just not sure right now is the time to do it. I know there's nothing out there, but from just general conversation, from my understanding, all the racetracks, and that's one of the main reasons I decided to get out of this deal when I did, is all the racetracks are wanting to do their own deal.
Well, Rick, here's how I see it. Back when you had the Sarah Series, and then afterwards there was an explosion of, you know, we had the Sportsman Series and mini stocks and so forth and so on. Back when you were doing that, during that time, the drivers around Florida, in the asphalt world we're talking about, they wanted to travel more. They wanted the rules to be the same at the various tracks so they could go to race, the owners at various tracks. The owners kind of refused to do that, and they were all trying to keep the rules different at their track so that they could keep their drivers.
Right.
Okay? The drivers wanted to travel. So the series grew out of that desire of the drivers, and all these series popped up, you know, and,
right.
And some of them were very successful. And now what has happened is that the pendulum went the other way a
right.
little bit. So
at one point I counted, I think Florida had 23 different traveling series between Legends and Dwarf Cars and all of that. But speaking of the rules, I mean, like you said, they like the common aspect of it. And at one point, with the limited late models, which is the type of car that we had, just about all the asphalt tracks had adopted our rules. DeSoto was on them actually at one time, Charlotte County, Hialeah. New Smyrna and Orlando was even real, real close to them. So it wasn't nothing major for 5-6 tracks to run the same type of car.
Right.
So I do feel that we did accomplish something there. And when we did the Triple Crown, it was great because we had that one year we did the Triple Crown with between us, Charlotte, and Hialeah at Lake, and we used USA as my home track, that we had 30-some cars sitting in the pit area for that Triple Crown, and it was an awesome show. So
yeah. Well, we're here at East Ray Raceway Park in the Hall of Fame Cafe, Bill.
Yeah, we'll
getting
be
ready
here.
For
we'll
for
be here in 2 weeks. 2 weeks we're going to be back on a Thursday night for the crate late models.
But tonight is, what, the third or fourth night of the Lucas Oil Dirt Late Model Series, and it's a little chilly, but it's going to be one hell of a race out there.
Yeah,
no
it's going to be good. They're out right now. They're hot lapping. They started at 5 o'clock. They got 6 or 7 sessions of hot laps with 70-something cars in here. So they're out there doing that. They'll get into qualifying right behind that right away, I think. They go right into qualifying and turn right around. So that'll be the interest to see who's the fast qualifier, who's going to get the break into the main event the easiest. You got to run through some heat races, make your way into the A main out of those, or you wind up in the B mains and you get collected there. And it's still tough to get in and be in a final event here at East Bay Raceway Park. And each and every year, that's job number one. Get in and see if you can win it.
So we're here talking with Rick Day, who has been a promoter and various other things around Florida racing for a long, long time. Well, Rick, I'll tell you, man, one thing you certainly can do is keep pounding these guys every chance you get, the owners, the promoters, that this is the entertainment business. This is an entertainment deal. It's not about selling racing. It's about selling entertainment. Keep doing that, man.
It's definitely entertainment. Like, yes, just the skill economy is so tight for that that dollar. I mean, you got to remember, it is entertainment. It's just like going to the movies or to a theme park. I mean, it's entertainment. And we're all got to fight for that dollar. And we've got to put on a quality show to keep the people interested and make them come back.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're going to take a break here.
Take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk to Clint Boyer and get his general gist about the Lucas Oil Dirt Late Models and racing with the traveling series here at East Bay Raceway Park. He only got to do Tuesday and Wednesday night, but he stopped in and talked to me quickly, so we'll get that over for the folks here shortly.
Rick, it's
thank
great
you,
to
Rick.
Again,
thanks, Rick.
Thanks for having me, guys.
We need those sandwiches now.
CarNightCar.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNight.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNight.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNight gets it done.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Hall of Fame Cafe live at East Bay Raceway Park. You're listening to Real Racing USA. You can go to realracingusa.com anywhere in the world and listen to us. We got some guys that listen in to us all the time from Afghanistan and Iraq. Some of the guys are overseas. They tune in. If they can't listen to us live, they always come in and click in and check us out a couple of days later when they are off their shift of duty. So we appreciate all of the things the men and women of the United States Air Force and Army, Navy, Marines do for us around the world each and every day so that we can sit here and talk junk about racing. We appreciate it. Now, everybody knows that Clint Bowyer, NASCAR's nationwide champion for the year, came down to East Bay Raceway Park and has been able to spend some time racing with us. And thanks to the fine folks at Fast Lane Collectibles, the Fast Lane, the Sports Authority, these folks have been able to make it possible for us to be here and for me
Kim
to go.
Kim Stewart.
Kim, for me to go and sit down with Clint Bowyer on Tuesday night when he was first here, because he could only do Tuesday. Yeah, actually, he could race Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Monday got rained out. Tuesday, Wednesday, he raced. He didn't make the big show. He never qualified.
He had some kind of problem last night, didn't he?
The first night he had some trouble, and then last night he just still had. He chose the wrong tire. He thought,
And he's got another car here that somebody.
Yeah, 17 of McDowell is okay. Here and is racing well and finished in the top 10, I think, last night. So he's doing quite well for the team. So hopefully everything will be fine. But anyway, I got a chance to talk to Clint Bowyer. It was just right back in the pits up against his hauler. I sat down with him and talked to him about coming out and racing at East Bay, and here's what he had to say.
Florida stuff. Wow, this is awesome, first off. Nice to meet you, Mr. Bowyer. Bill Green at CarNight.com and Real Racing USA. We're doing a live radio show from here on Thursday night, but you can't stay me here, so we wanted to make sure we got a chance to talk to you. What's it like to get back out, do some of this grassroots racing, but yet in the back of your mind you got to be thinking about Daytona and all the things that go on there?
No, actually that's why you come over here, to get Daytona and all that stuff out of your mind and have fun, you know, get back to what racing is all about. But, you want to come over here and be competitive. It's so hard to. When you come over here and just jump in these cars, two or three times a year and expect to run with these guys, it's, virtually impossible. Dale McDowell and all these guys out here, these guys are cup drivers of this sport. It's ever been as much competitive as the cup level, and if not a little more, because the field's deeper. But, it's still fun to come over here sling mud and have mud there in your face, pull tear off. Yeah, that's what I grew up doing, so I enjoy it. That's why I started a team. That's why, you know, I have Dale. We had Shannon Babb driving for me last year, and Dale's going to drive this year. And, you know, it's just a lot of fun. You know, Dale.
How do you pick a driver to go drive your equipment for you because you can't be there kind of thing?
Well, yeah, you try to pick the best one out there, you know, and Shannon was definitely high on my list. He's a lot of fun. He's kind of the crowd pleaser, you know what I mean? And, you know, I really enjoyed him as a person, and you know, he just was away from home too much, and it didn't work out. But Dale McDowell's little brother, Shane, has been over working with the grandkids at RCR for the last 3 or 4 years, and I got to know Shane and got to hang out with Dale. I just really like the family. They're good people, and that's what you look for, you know. You want a good race. You want somebody that's going to be up front, but you want somebody that's got to represent you well. And, you know, certainly Dale and all the McDowells, for that matter, are exactly what you'd look for in a race car driver.
Well, I don't know how excited one guy could be, but when you got signed on with the 07 and the sponsor you have, I was really excited because that was one of the things that I'd done with my family. I'd take them back, show them the Lynchburg and the brewery and everything over the years. I'm now in my 22nd year of being sober, so how do you balance having a booth for a sponsor, but yet, you know, taking care of business and not getting, you know, making sure people realize they got to be responsible for it?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of responsibility that goes with having a, you know, distilled spirit for a sponsor. But, yeah, I'm over that now. I'm actually the Cheerios and Hamburger Helper guy.
You
want to talk about a table of, you know, a turntable. I went from whiskey and bars to, you know, cereal and children and grocery stores. So it's been a big change for me over the last year. But, you know, certainly had a lot of fun with the Jack folks and a huge fan of Jack Daniels. I mean, it's like you said, it's an eye-opener to go over there and see the distillery. And it's just such a, you know, old-school method, and it's neat that it's still producing, you know, good times.
Well, the reason I kind of brought that up is I wanted to talk about your car from the Dream, the 07 car, has been the most collected car from the Dream. It's the most bought and purchased car that's out there. They're selling it here even at East Bay, I see, still. So that's pretty cool to know that you've got one of the highest selling, you know, late model style cars that are in the collectibles range. It's going to be pretty neat, even though it's not a NASCAR collectible. But
yeah, it is neat. And, you know, that means people are fans and they're watching you and pull for you. And, you know, that means a lot. When you go out there, that's why you come out here and do this. That's why I'm out here. And you know, it is a hell of a lot of fun, but it means a lot to, you know, see your fans that don't get to see you on Saturday or Sunday to be over here and, you know, say, hey, man, I appreciate you stopping by. It's been fun watching tonight. You know, it's neat to have that interaction with a different fan base.
Well, I've watched very closely. You've been very good about autographs, photographs, anywhere you've been ever. And I know that you'll be signing some of those 07 cars for a long, long time to come. What's the short-term future and the long-term range plans for Clint Bowyer? What's going on? I know there's been a lot of changes in NASCAR this year. I'm going to go to the TV on Sunday and go, who's in what?
Oh, that'd
be confusing.
It's been a big, big change. And, you know, for me personally, going from the 07 Jack Daniels car to the 33 Cheerios car this year, you know, still at RCR, but a whole new crew and a new crew chief, everybody. So, you know, I'm looking forward to the opportunity. I think, you know, I'm not looking at it as you know, a step backwards at all. Sure, there's going to be some, you know, a little bit of a learning curve or a, you know, it'll take some time to get going and hit our stride, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But not because of the talent. You know, our team is, you know, we were able to take advantage of some of the misfortunes of some teams going out of business and getting some good people, because in this business it's all about the people and getting the most out of those people.
I can see that. Last but not least, our good friend and one of the racers from right here in Florida, David Ruderman, had to do the same thing. He kind of backed up and had to race his way in suddenly after doing such a great job 2 years ago. How do you feel about that situation? I mean, it's got to be kind of a, you know, push me, pull you. You love having a good team. You want to be still racing, but to get everything kind of yanked out from under you seems like a drastic measure to make things happen for the team.
It's very nerve-wracking. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. It's very nerve-wracking, but, you know, I'm with a wonderful team. Beat the hell out of working in a body shop, I can tell you that.
Well, that's it, man. Thanks so much, Clint. Clint Bowyer, ladies and gentlemen, at East Bay Raceway Park. He's driving the 33 Chevrolet and having a good time, having some fun. He'll get to race on Wednesday and Thursday, or excuse me, make that Tuesday and Wednesday. And we won't get a chance to talk to him on Thursday night at the show, but we'll look forward to to bringing you this update about Clint Bowyer and what's going on with Clint Bowyer's racing.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, that was it. Caught me off guard. I'm eating one of Rick Day's sandwiches. Dang, it's good. Lots of peppers and onions and stuff. And anyway, Clint Bowyer was so nice to take time to talk to me, but he was in the middle of trying to get through a racing evening, so it was a little hectic. I'll try to clean that up. We'll put it back on so people can listen to it. But
there's Real Racing USA live. From the Hall of Fame Cafe.
Got to thank Todd Hutto and the Barnadors for letting us do
our show. East Bay Raceway Park has opened the doors up. We're going to be here 2 weeks from tonight. We'll be here for the Crate Late Models, and then we will be back once a month at least. After that, we'll be getting an opportunity to come back and hang out here at East Bay Raceway Park. So we look forward to it. Should be fun.
Fastlane Collectibles?
Kim Fastlane Stewart. Collectibles is on for the Winter Nationals. They're going to take care of us and make sure we're here for the Crate Late Models. We appreciate them, and we're looking to see if we can't.
And we will be working with them throughout
we'll work
the
with
year.
Them. I think we can manage to make something happen there for the year. It'd be awesome as
great
they travel
show,
the country.
Great show, Rick Eckert.
Rick Eckert. Well, the three drivers that came
Donnie
in were
Donnie
Moran, the Million Dollar Man, Rick Eckert, and then we got the young Tyler Reddick, the 14-year-old that's got his opportunity to go racing.
And
so
a great appearance by Rick Day.
Rick Day came by, Nats Peters, Steve Black, and then, of course, our own Fastlane lady herself.
Collectibles.
The Fastlane authority in racing. So we hope that you take the opportunity to come by East Bay Raceway Park. If you have not ever been to a Winter Nationals event, pick your favorite, whether it be sprint cars, late models, open wheels. Look at the schedule. Come down. Spend a couple of nights. Make sure you hit the Thursday, the Friday, the Saturday, of whatever it is you're watching, and enjoy East Bay Raceway Park.
And later this month, we will be at Real Racing USA Live. Will broadcast on the 13th of February. We'll be at the second annual modified reunion at New Smyrna Speedway. All the folks from the northeastern United States who used to race a long time ago come down.
Is that the 13th?
That's Friday the 13th. The 14th will be
Pete Orr Memorial.
Yep, Pete Orr Memorial. But the 15th.
Yeah, the Sunday.
Dave Westerman says it. Bill Green and Rick Angies will team up to tag team announce
a figure eight race. We're going to do the World Championship figure eight racing at Auburndale Speedway.
That's right.
That should be interesting.
It's going to be awesome. The 27th will be at Ocala Speedway broadcasting live the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. And we'll be back here for the Crate Late Model.
And all of the United Dirt Late Model Series races are going to be
all of them.
Broadcast live.
All plus, throughout the year, we broadcast many, many races live.
And
if you can't
events.
Make it out tonight for the Lucas Oil Dirt Late Models, you can go to dirtnation.net. They've got a great live broadcast they do. Dustin Jarrett, and he always has a special
That's
guest.
That's who else we were supposed to talk to, but I never saw him come by.
And also, throughout the year, we'll be working with many, many different people.
He had a great idea come in there, and then suddenly it just withered away.
I think I'm so hungry to eat that sandwich.
Let's wrap this up, guys.
I know. Okay. I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, it's been fun. We're glad to be
back
on the
air.
DirtOnDirt.com. DirtOnDirt.com. That's where you can hear the live call tonight of the races. They're fixing it ready to go qualifying.
No, that's Dirt Nation.
Oh, Dirt Nation's tonight.
DirtOnDirt.com. Go check it out. Late models. If you like dirt late models, it's a website you need to check out.
It's like Speed 51 for dirt.
Dirt on dirt.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, that's right.
It's awesome. Don't forget, Speed Week's coming up. If you're going to be at the Bush, what do they call that thing? Saturday? Bush Clash. No.
Bud Clash.
The Bud Shootout. The Bud Shootout.
Yeah.
If you're going to be at the Bud Shootout, look close. I'll be wandering the grounds aimlessly with my daughter. She promised. I made a promise to her last year. She gets to go.
Along with Bill Green and Jack Smith, I'm Rick Angies from Real Racing USA. Y'all be safe out there and catch a race somewhere. Good night now.
Good night, everybody.